Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from District Metals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol DMX. We are chatting with the President and CEO, Garrett Ainsworth. Now, to remind everybody, District Metals is a base metals play in Sweden. The company has been exploring the Tom Tebow property, and now we are also getting news out of some of these new acquisitions, the Svargio property and Gruvberget. We don't have any news out of Gruvberget yet, but Svargio we are going to focus on here because there was a news release that came out just yesterday, January 10th, outlining some sample results. Just to bring everybody up to speed too, these three projects, they're all within about 40 kilometers or less of each other in Sweden. Let's talk about this Svargio property, because as I mentioned, the company did close the transaction to acquire this and Gruvberget really at the end of October last year, 2021. The sample results, 253 grams per ton silver, almost 23% zinc, and about 8.6% lead. Now, this was the highlight number here, but Garrett, give us a little background in terms of the work that has been done here, because it wasn't that long ago that there were other companies exploring here.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Corey. So, this acquisition really fits into our strategy in Sweden, you know, looking at advanced stage exploration projects. Svargio is definitely along that line. It's had mining on the property since the 15th century up until, you know, 1989 at the Svargio mine. There was actually 1 million tons on record that was produced at grades that are, you know, quite a bit higher than, you know, what was mined at Boliden's Garpenberg mine last year. And that's a world-class polymetallic zinc silver mine, which is about, you know, maybe 50 kilometers to the south. But so we'll basically be picking up from Boliden. They did the last work at Svargio, concentrating at the Svargio mine. Their last work program was in 2014, where they did some drilling, and they originally picked up the mineral licenses in 2009. So by the time they got to 2009, they weren't in a very good position to renew the licenses, because their exploration team had fallen apart in 2017 due to market conditions. And when you get to the 10-year mark, you need to produce a internal mineral resource estimate, and they weren't in a position to do that in 2019. So they had to let the property lapse, and then EMX got a hold of it really quickly, and then we did the deal with EMX. So that's a bit of the background on Svargio.
Well, Garrett, just looking at some of these initial rock chip samples and some of the surface work you've done, really high grade as far as the zinc and even good lead values, good silver values. So it also looks like there's two different mineralized areas, though. And you had mentioned off mic, one was more of the silver, lead, zinc, and the other is more of the copper, gold. Just walk us through a little bit about the geology and how this property is laid out and how you would access this property as you start exploring it.
Yeah, so Svargio, it's just over 1,000 hectares. It covers about a 4-kilometer mineralized trend with numerous historical mines. You know, from what we can see from historical information, a mineralization that's wide open at depth and then also in between the mines. But to see those like pearls on a string along that haven't seen exploration between is a really good opportunity for us. And you know, with the grades that we're seeing, it's very typical of the Bergslagen in that they're very silver and zinc rich. That's where, you know, at Garpenberg and at Zinkgruvan, the two operating mines in the region, that's where they get their bulk of the value from the mineralization. I mean, getting, you know, 37% zinc equivalent from the Kompani Gruvan pit was, you know, very, very significant. That's like, that's a chip sample across outcrop. But then you also get the copper gold zones. They're typically smaller. They're feeder zones, but you know they do mine these at Zinkgruvan because you get generally 2% copper, and then sometimes you get some gold credits there as well. But yeah, our main focus will be really for the high tonnage, high grade material, which is typically going to be your zinc silver rich mineralization.
So after these sample results, what work is needed to build up, I guess, a few more defined drill targets if you are planning on drilling that this year?
Yeah, so as we've done with Tom Tebow, it's all about getting the different layers of data, you know, putting them on top of each other to help pick out your priority targets. So as you said, Corey, you know, we closed the transaction in October, and boom, right away in November, we commenced a airborne SkyTEM survey that was surveying for electromagnetic and magnetic responses. So the electromagnetic will pick up conductive bodies, which is, you know, could come from the lead being galena, not the sphalerite. That's not conductive material. But generally, those targets will show is sometimes not a conductor at all, or like a moderate conductor. But the copper gold zones or chalcopyrite, and they'll be quite strong conductors. So we've got the final data in just at the beginning of the year. So interpretation of the SkyTEM data is about to start, and we should have results out on this in February, I would think. Then the next step after we pick out our priority geophysical targets, then we hit the ground and, you know, ground truth them, do some mapping and sampling in greater detail. And then that's how we develop the regional targets. The targets that are more, you know, near the mine and follow up from Boliden's work will be essentially stepping out from known mineralization that's open at depth and along strike. So it's a two-pronged approach that, you know, where we know we're going to hit mineralization and we want to grow things out near mine, and then trying to make new discoveries on the more regional targets. So, I mean, there's one regional showing called Stormier Groven, and that really impressed me because there's no drilling on record around it. Boliden didn't pay any attention to it, but it's just to the northeast of the main Svarjo mine. And I mean, we saw massive sulfides all over the place in these dump piles. And, you know, one of our samples came back 29% zinc equivalent. And I mean, key thing is it had 133 grams per ton silver, 1% copper. Those kind of showings are going to be really important for us to follow up on.
Yeah, Garrett, that's some pretty good grade there. And so it's exciting to see that there's going to be so many regional targets you can go after you get back some of the electromagnetic and magnetic surveys, and after you do a little bit more ground truthing. But just focused on the existing mines that are there, as people always say in this industry, you know, the best place to find some mineralization is in the headframe of a prior producing mine. There's two main ones you highlight on here, the Svarjo mine and the Kampen Gruven mine. But you mentioned to us that there's actually a lot of different mines. How many mines are across this property, to your recollection?
It also depends what you define as being a mine, because I mean, quite often just a pit will be in the ground that's dug down, you know, 10 meters. That'll be called a mine. I would say there's, you know, well over 20 of these mines or showings. But like real mines that are going down maybe a couple hundred meters, there's probably more like three or four on the property itself.
So Garrett, I also want to get some more information, or at least a bit of color, as to the plans at Grooveberryit. Because Svarjo, okay, you're starting to get some results back, but I understand Grooveberryit, you've also been doing some surface work. So what's the strategy moving over to this other property acquisition?
Svarjo and Grooveberryit, again, they're both advanced stage exploration projects with historical mining, historical drilling that shows mineralization that's open, you know, in many, many different directions. Grooveberryit, we also hit the ground there and did some rock chip and grab sampling, some reconnaissance mapping there as well. This property is about 20 kilometers west of the historic Falun mine. One area of interest that we're really keen on there is the north zone. It's about 550 meters strike length of continuous mineralization in historical drilling, and then it's being drilled to a maximum vertical depth of 160 meters that shows mineralization's wide open at depth. So, I mean, we're going to be advancing Svarjo and Grooveberryit in tandem. I mean, we also flew an airborne SkyTEM survey at Grooveberryit. And, you know, I could see us working towards a drill program at Grooveberryit actually before Svarjo. So stay tuned for more news on Grooveberryit.
So, Garrett, can you just summarize for us then, looking ahead for this year, 2022, where the work's going to be done and the general process timeframe of it all?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I guess I haven't said too much about Tom Tebow, but that is our flagship polymetallic project that you know, we acquired in 2020. Last year we drilled just over 10,000 meters. We returned some really good, you know, drill intercepts of high grade polymetallic mineralization, especially at Svarjo. So we actually still have about 10 holes to report from Tom Tebow drilling that occurred late last year. So you can expect assays for that to come out probably in like early February is what I'm thinking. And then we'll be planning another drill program at Tom Tebow to follow up down dip from some really good drill intercepts that we've already hit there to just kind of grow things out. And then, you know, we'll continue with ground surveys at Svarjo and Groove Barriet, especially when the snow starts clearing and you can start seeing the rocks again. So I'd say April, and that'll be following up on the SkyTEM anomalies that we get from those two new properties. And with the idea that, you know, it looks like we'll be able to advance Groove Barriet to a drilling stage very, very quickly. I mean, there's already a heap of walk-up drill targets, but it's always good to have some regional drill targets to do in tandem on any drill program.
Well, Garrett, just remind everybody what the company's cash in the treasury is to get started on exploration in 2022.
Yeah, so right now we're sitting at about $2.4 million in cash. And just to kind of give a feel for the drilling cost, because I have been getting asked a lot, like, oh, it must be expensive drilling in Sweden, but it's about $300 Canadian per meter all in for everything. So, I mean, that's it can get a lot of drilling done. And on a global stance, that's a pretty good cost per meter for drilling, because if you go up to northern parts of Canada, it goes north of $400 or $500 per meter very quickly.
All right. Thanks for that update there, Garrett. We'll be following along as more news hits the market. And if anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder of District Metals. And again, we'll be following up on the back of some more news. Garrett, thanks for the update today.
Thanks very much, Corey and Chad.